Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Thank you so very much, Terry Barr, and good morning, everyone, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. It's the Todd Albaugh Show for Friday, the 18th of November, 2022, joined by our wonderful producer and engineer, Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, how are you?
Doing pretty well this morning. Just ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and that always brightens up the day a little bit.
Right?
At least if you like peanut butter as much as I do.
I love it. Now, here's the question. Creamy or crunchy?
I am more of a crunchy person.
Really?
But, all right.
I'm more creamy.
I love them both.
Yeah.
But I do just like peanuts as is a lot. So I think that it depends on my mood, though, if I want creamy or crunchy.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I can feel that.
Sometimes you want to be chewing on chunks. Sometimes you just don't.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. I guess that's Mounds Bar. But and Almond Joy. Anyway, we are joyful that you are all here with us, whether you are listening on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in Amory. We are happy that you are along with us. Or maybe, just maybe, you've been one of those cool cats that went to your app store on your smartphone and downloaded the Civic Media app. It's quick, it's easy, it's free. Then you open it and you go to other stations, and then you go over to WRCE News in the Center. You click on that, and bada bing, bada boom, you are in, and you can listen to the Todd Albaugh Show each and every morning, Monday through Friday, from 8 until 11. And then after us, you can listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, who is still on vacation, but Jane or somebody is going to be there to do a great job as well on her show today. So that show will come up at 11 o'clock. News headlines and what you need to know on this hour. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she is stepping down from her role as the Democratic leader for House Democrats. She will, however, stay on as a member of the House of Representatives. And we have queued up a couple of snippets of her speech yesterday. We'll take the first one, Aaron, from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
With great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
And a little bit later, she started to talk more about her decision.
While we will have our disagreements on policy, we must remain fully committed to our shared fundamental mission: to hold strong to our most treasured democratic ideals, to cherish the spark of divinity in each and every one of us, and to always put our country first.
I thought it was a good speech. I didn't see all of it, but I thought it was a good speech by Speaker Pelosi yesterday. And at least many of the Republicans were in the room. Some did give her the proper standing ovation that she deserved. However, there were just some jerks, Republican jerks, who sat on their haunches and wouldn't even clap. And, you know, that's just low class. I mean, even Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House from Wisconsin, had the decency to tweet out yesterday a proper tweet congratulating and thanking Speaker Pelosi and welcoming her to the former Speaker's Club. You know, I mean, at least that was classy and appropriate to give her the recognition that she deserved. She had a great line, though, in the speech in which she said, it's been a pleasure serving with three presidents. And, of course, she served with four. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden. You can imagine which one she did not include in the three that she enjoyed serving with. So I thought that was a nice little bit of shade there by Nancy Pelosi. But it's exciting that she has done such a great job. She was the first woman to have that role. And just to think back a minute, right? That's, again, where things have changed in our country, in our politics. When she became Speaker, George W. Bush was President of the United States, Republican, of course. In his State of the State address, or State of the Union address, pardon me, the first time that she was Speaker during a State of the Union address, the first thing George W. Bush did was to turn around and recognize Nancy Pelosi as the first woman to be Speaker and to say that he had known her father and how proud her father would be if he could see his daughter here today, and led a standing ovation for Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat. Again, it's just a decent thing to do, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. So things changed, many for the worse, over the last few years. But Nancy Pelosi is stepping down, but apparently Hakeem Jeffries of New York, of Brooklyn, will be the person in line to take over for the Democrats as the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives. Aaron, are we taking a break at the midpoint this half hour, or are we pushing on to the bottom of the hour?
We have a minute left.
Oh, okay, so we are going to take a break. All right, our computers have been a little funky here, so we're the computer. See, the fix-it doctor, Luke Mathers, is in the house, and he has fixed it. He is a fixer of all. He really is the Swiss Army knife of civic media. He can host a show, Dueling Tangents. He can fix your computer problems. He can give you life advice. He has a couch back in his office. We just go back there and lay down, and he gives us life advice, Luke Mathers.
Advice and donuts.
And donuts. He's an all-around fantastic guy. So we'll do a little commercial break. We'll hear from a couple of sponsors around our civic media radio network. And when we come back, we are honored to have another host in our civic media lineup. We have the wonderful, the talented Jason Haithman, co-anchor of Packer Outright Opinions. He is hungover. He is upset. None of that's true. But he had to endure a Packer loss. He'll tell us about that, and look forward to his show on the coming up next on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen to that intro music. You're listening to the Green Bay Packer Radio Network. No, not really. Look, Jason gets a fanfare, a Roman army entry into the Coliseum, into Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field from NFL Films.
That was definitely epic sounding.
Yeah, that was
fantastic. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. That was fantastic.
The official Thursday Night Football on Prime Video theme.
Is it really?
Okay. Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
You know why I didn't know that? Because I don't have Amazon Prime.
Well, there you go.
Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I'm a big Al Michaels fan, but I don't have Amazon. You know, years ago, when I had my coffee shop, I had all young college people. They're fantastic. And they all like, oh my God, this is great. Amazon Prime, you can get anything in 24 hours or 48 hours. And I'm like, I don't need anything that bad. And if I do, I'll just go buy it here. So I don't have Amazon. I don't have Amazon Prime. I'm an old man. I'm sorry. But not an old man.
A young
man and an in-touch man and host of the Packers Outright Opinions right here on the Civic Media Radio Network is Jason Haithman, who joins us now in studio to dissect for a couple of minutes. Oof. The Green Bay Packers game. They got a win. They got a win earlier in the week, and you were very happy about that. You told me yesterday, because we share office space.
Yeah.
You're like, wouldn't it be great if we got two wins? I could talk about two wins this season. So I thought about you last night.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, the table was set for a big turnaround. I mean, it was 3-6. Everybody was gloom and doom, and the table was set with back-to-back home games in the short period of time that in a matter of less than a week, right, 5 days, the Packers could have had a very different outlook on the season. And now it's kind of, we're not sure. We won one, we lost one. And last night was a big disappointment because there were opportunities there to be made, and the team could have won. And, you know, I mean, it starts with a guy who makes the most money, and he missed some obvious throws at key points in the game. When we needed Aaron Rodgers to be his best, he was clearly not his best. And, you know, that's probably the first thing to look at when you look at last night's game.
Do you think he's losing it? I mean, he's still a great player, but do you think just his age or what have you, do you think it's his age, or do you think it's all this goofball stuff he's gone into, holistic medicine and shamans and all this kind of stuff?
I think it's more egocentric. I think he's more about himself and his legacy now than he is about doing what needs to be done to win. And, you know, that's our show, Packer Outright Opinions. That's an opinion right there, but we give it. My brother and I do the show Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Friday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. And in the process, we take a look at all these things. We dig deeper, you know, so we want to get information to Packers fans about guys in the roster you don't hear about a lot. But we also have to talk about the obvious guys like Rodgers. And look, you can look at the stats, Todd. He's in the bottom tier in almost everything right now. He's at the lowest stats of his career in almost every passing category. And on top of that, just rank him against the other quarterbacks. It's not even close. He is not playing like one of the best players in the league, and he's getting paid like one, though.
I think he's still a physically talented guy.
He is.
I just think it's his mind stuff. Well, I think he's just gone down a path in his personal life or what have you, and I'm not here to judge people's personal lives, but I think it's taken his mind out of football.
It's certainly that. He definitely has other interests, and he's not just a football junkie like a lot of guys are, right, that play. But the other part to it is he's become uncoachable.
Right, 100%.
And that's an issue. When you're a person in any type of job and you no longer can take any sort of response from anybody or advice from anybody to correct yourself or be better, then you're going to run into problems, right? If you look at his mechanics, I mean, how many times does he throw the ball when he doesn't have his feet on the ground or he doesn't have, you know, he's off his back foot, and you look at other guys step into throws and then you wonder why some of those throws are just a little bit off. Now, he is very talented, so he can get away with that in a lot of cases, but in some cases, he can't. And now we're seeing it more and more often where those throws are not where they need to be.
Here's a question I've wanted to ask someone who's smarter about Packer football than me, which is a lot of people. And so I'll ask you.
You got questionable company right now, but go for it.
No, not at all. So I'll ask you, Jason, host of Packer Outright Opinions tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7. My opinion, when LaFleur was hired, I'm not sure if you ever read it. There was a great, my opinion, I think it was Sports Illustrated article. It was a long, long article with lots of sources that was supposedly accurate about the whole situation of how LaFleur got hired. And Packers president, Mark Murphy,
yep.
Allegedly called Aaron Rodgers after the deal was done and just before it was announced, and said, "This is what we're doing. Don't mess it up." And it essentially gave Rodgers his marching orders, which did not sit real well with Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't included. And whether you feel a player should be included or not, my opinion is when you have an MVP-level quarterback like him, whether you go to other teams as well, I think that you have to include your best player, at least get their opinion. I mean, look what the Bucks did when they hired their new coach. They sat down with Giannis and they had lunch with the guy before they made the decision to see if Giannis liked. Not that they were going to necessarily defer to Giannis, let him choose the coach, but you want your best player to at least have a favorable opinion of your head coach. And I think that's where the problems for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers started, was Murphy just taking absolute authoritarian control of the team. He is the president, but I just don't think he handled it well.
Well, it was an interesting process, no doubt. And that whole article by Tyler Dunn about the downfall and all the drama that went on before Mike McCarthy's exit and some of the other things that were said in the transfer, which I think the quote in the article was, "Don't be the problem."
That's
to
what it
Aaron
was.
Rodgers
That's
specifically.
What it
was. And, you know, like, since we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, let's go back in time. The first season under Matt LaFleur, okay, it was a brand new system, and they featured the running game, and they played off of that and did a lot of play-action passes, but Aaron Rodgers did not have the statistical accounts to be in the MVP discussion because Aaron Jones had 20 touchdowns that season. Aaron Rodgers did not have 45 touchdowns because they were running the ball more, and they were giving those backs those opportunities. The offense was very effective. They won 13 games. They still lost in the playoffs, fine, but after that, Jordan Love was drafted. Aaron Rodgers was mad. Then he comes out and plays great, yes, but also they flipped their whole offense.
Right.
He came to the coach and said, "I don't like a lot of these plays. We need to mesh in some of the old plays I like." And they took what should have been the offense that works at a lot of teams. It worked for the Lions. It's worked for the Rams. Got the Rams to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, for crying out loud. And also got Matt Ryan an MVP back in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, guy's not that good, but he won an MVP with this offense, okay? And Aaron Rodgers didn't want to run that offense anymore. He wanted his stuff in there. So all of a sudden you started seeing this meshing of offense that didn't match the personnel because the players that were drafted fit the Matt LaFleur scheme. Yet now we're not running that scheme, or we're running this kind of combobulated scheme that runs those plays sometimes and sometimes runs the old Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers plays, and it just doesn't work as well. But Aaron Rodgers is more featured. He had more control, and he had the stats to win back-to-back MVPs.
It just appears that they're not in sync, to your point. To boil it down, some days it's Aaron Rodgers' team, some days it's LaFleur, sometimes it's Murphy's. And there's just no consistency in the direction. And if you're not all pulling in the same direction, it doesn't matter if you're on a sports team or an organization or whatever, you're not going to go very far.
And a great follow-up on that, my brother and I have talked about this on our show as well, is the Packers, after 2018, had a plan. They had a plan to create a new type of team that fit this offensive scheme and this coach. They were drafting as such. Aaron Rodgers got disgruntled, wanted more say, wanted more power, wanted some of his guys brought in. So they started to appease that. They started to bring in some of his guys back to the team. But those players didn't necessarily fit the Matt LaFleur system. So now you have a plan that the GM and organization was trying to execute and change over, but you have this plan kind of being disrupted by your diva quarterback. My brother calls him Baby Diva. Diva Baby, actually. And you have him who has the say, and now you're bringing in these players that don't necessarily fit that system. So it's nothing's working the way it should, because you're with this push and pull between two different plans. You're not sticking to the plan.
And the guy who just has disappeared, and you wonder what he does all day, just sits around and hangs out, Brian Gutekunst, who's supposed to be, you know, kind of overseeing this whole opera, he's non-existent. Other than the draft, you never hear about him. I mean, can you imagine Ron Wolf back in the day? I mean, he was the Packers. It wasn't Bob Harlan. It was Ron Wolf.
Yeah.
Bob Harlan was featured on a couple of live shots up in the booth, up in the owner's booth during a game. But Wolf ran the team. Gutekunst doesn't have any real power.
It's an interesting position he's in, right? He'd been with the organization for a very long time, then got promoted. They wanted to do that from within. Okay, he knew the players, he knew the town, he knew the organization. But what happened with Brian Gutekunst was, you know, he had to make that change. He had to make some tough decisions. First thing he did as a GM was sign Aaron Rodgers to a huge contract. Then shortly after that, he drafts a quarterback in the first round and moves around to do it. So you thought, what's the plan here? What are you doing?
Right.
And in the process of all of that, I think he's gotten quite a bit of pushback from different people in the organization. He had to deal. Look, the Packers, the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers understands the power of the media, right? And the Packers don't like to deal with all of this drama in the media. And so Aaron Rodgers utilized that to kind of gain some power back, kind of put some people in their place in his perspective. And it's been this dynamic. We have this board on our intro to our YouTube show that we also do, Hafeman Bros, if you can check us out and subscribe if you want. It has a picture of Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers. And I just put a line on there that says, who's in charge here anyway? Like, who is? That's the question.
That's great. Nice job, Aaron. We appreciate that. To kind of dovetail into this theme, we had on Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiesa earlier. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have State School Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley on. And one of the themes we've kind of been talking about this week and today is bringing people together around the state, regardless of politics. And the Packers is one that people can coalesce around, right? I mean, whether you love them or hate them, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you voted for Michaels or Evers, people can go to a Packers game and sit next to each other and cheer for the same thing. It is a way to bring people together.
100%. Sports, if you look at it, and it's the Packers, if you look at small towns, your community sports bringing it together, like sports is a thing where we can all be fans of one thing and take all that other stuff out of the equation, right?
Right.
And that's kind of why it was really irritating. I don't mean to be on Aaron Rodgers the whole time, but when he started to bring in some of these other things, you know, cutting on some of the stuff he did related to his response to getting COVID and getting caught and all that sort of stuff, the things he said publicly were really disappointing, but also were flaming some of the, you know, fanning some of the flames of some of this misinformation stuff, which is right, where I personally lost a lot of respect for him.
Right.
And then secondly, you know, he keeps kind of commenting on some of these things, or, you know, cutting down Joe Biden or this and that, in the public eye. And I'm like, Aaron Rodgers, just leave that stuff out of here. We don't want that in our football, because we want, as fans, we want to be able to enjoy football together regardless of our politics.
Right. Tonight, the show, 7 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. What's on the agenda besides dissecting the games?
Look, I mean, we're going to talk about the games, but tonight we want to feature callers. So we want people to call in more tonight. A lot of times we have planned stuff for the show and we want to go through all of that. But tonight, look, we're all in the same spot as Packers fans. Let's just kind of marinate in it a little bit. Let's let's get it out. Let's get, call in, get out your grievances, tell us what you think. Let's feel better. Let's work through the process together.
Jason Hafeman, co-host of Packer Outright Opinions tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network, 7 until 8. Thanks, Jason. Have a great show tonight.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
My pleasure. Great to have you here, my office mate here at Civic Media. Coming up next, we're going to have the wonderful and talented Dr. Jill Underley, Superintendent of Public Schools, on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I sent them the link yesterday. ABC 123. That's where it all starts, right? Everything I learned in kindergarten. My mom was a kindergarten teacher. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are at 9:33. On a Friday morning, and we are honored to be joined by the state school superintendent for the state of Wisconsin. Dr. Jill Underley joins us in this half hour. Good morning, Dr. Underley. How are you doing?
Good morning, Todd. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be on. As I was telling you before we came on the air, I've kind of shared with some of our listeners, we're in our first week of our show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we're live in Richland Center and Wausau and Amory, and then streaming around the state and around the world, actually. So we have some people listening via stream and on Facebook as well. So, but I was the only person in my family, basically, who was not an educator or didn't go into education. So education is near and dear to my heart. And I really appreciate the work that you have done. You're in your first term, correct, as state school superintendent?
I finished my first year, yes. I started in July of 21, mm-hmm. So a year and a half now, almost.
And prior to that, tell folks what you were doing before you became the state school superintendent.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Prior to being elected as the state superintendent of public instruction, I was the superintendent or district administrator for the Pecatonica Area School District, which is in southwestern Wisconsin, Iowa, and Lafayette counties primarily.
So a wonderful area. As people have learned this week, I used to work for State Senator Dale Schultz of Richland Center, which included that area of the state, beautiful part. And his wife, a longtime superintendent of the Richland School District, Rachel Schultz. And I was in high school when Rachel was the business manager. And then they needed someone, while they were having their children, they needed someone to kind of fill in and take over the school lunch program. And so Rachel did that for a couple of years in high school. And the school lunches went just off the chart. I mean, it became fantastic, redefined school lunches in the Richland School District. Then she went back to being the business manager, ended up as the superintendent, and really built this relationship with the community based on honesty and transparency. And it is a thankless job, these district administrators, these district superintendents, because you have to work with the teachers, the union, parents, students, community. You really are a local ambassador in your communities, are you not?
Well, thanks for acknowledging that. It is one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had, but it was the toughest job I certainly ever had. And you're on call or on duty, I should say, 24/7 when you're a local rural school superintendent. And most of them live in the communities too, so there's absolutely no anonymity.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
People don't understand that you're the person that's up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning deciding whether to delay or cancel school in bad weather. You're the person if there's a student behavioral problem that ultimately a lot of times it comes down to you. So you're right. You're always on. So thank you for your service at the Pecatonica School District. And now thank you for your service around the state.
It's my privilege.
Thank you so very much. I want to touch on, I want to thank Chris on your staff for helping us set this up, but I'm a former Republican. I left the party in 2011 just because of voter ID and a lot of things that I didn't agree with, and the party no longer represented who I was. I don't belong to any party anymore, although I've voted Democratic the last few years. But one of the things that I said, coming from a family of educators, public schools are so important to me because I went to one at Richland Center. But knowing the folks around there, and here's the thing I'd like to get your take on, Dr. Underley. You know as well as I do, whether it's Pecatonica or Argyle, whether it's Ithaca or Cazenovia, mm-hmm. or Weston, a lot of these small communities The schools are the community. Yeah. And without the school district, the community loses its identity. If I have my numbers right from your website, there were 81 school referenda on the ballot last week. 64 passed. Only 17 did not. I'm not going to read the whole list, but look at where they were. Appleton Area School District, $129 million plus another $5 million in Appleton, the Fox Valley, where Tony Evers and Democrats picked up votes in this election. Green Bay, a $92 million referendum passed. Hillsborough in southwest Wisconsin, a $3 million referendum passed. Holman also passed. I can go right down the list. Monroe, a community I'm very near and dear to my heart, $88 million for a new high school passed. My point is that I believe one of the keys to Democrats picking up votes and Tony Evers getting reelected was the fact that on the Marquette Law School poll a week before the election, the number two issue behind inflation for voters was public schools and public education. I believe that people came out and voted for their public schools and then voted for candidates who also believed in public education. Do you think that's a correct opinion, or what's your take on that?
I do. I think it is accurate, for sure. So public education in Wisconsin, my office in particular, is supposed to be nonpartisan, right? Our school boards are elected. They're not partisans. So that's why my election is also in the spring as well with other nonpartisans. And that's, I think you nailed it, Todd. I mean, public education is near and dear to everybody's heart in Wisconsin. And I think voters made that clear by the number of referendums that they approve every election cycle. This election cycle certainly was a record amount in the amount of money that was approved, but in previous elections, they've been passing at very high rates as well. And you're right, they're not small amounts of money. And when we have schools struggling, the schools have to, for, you know, financial resources, the schools have to go to the taxpayers because they can't rely on our state legislature any longer to be able to get them the resources that they need so that these schools can be successful. And so therefore you're seeing the community rally around their schools. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I want to get to a point where we don't have to do that anymore, because this is an incredible amount of time that our school boards and our administrators are, you know, putting into passing referendums. I'm not saying that that time and that commitment isn't important, but if that doesn't pass, I mean, what are the options that are left for those school districts? And that's the question I don't want to have to answer.
One of the things we've been talking about on this program this week, and as a former Republican, I'm happy to call out things that I see that aren't right on either side of the aisle, but I don't really belong to any Republican or any party right now. And to your point, you are technically a nonpartisan office, but at the same time, I think it's important. We've been talking about this week about unity. What brings us together? We just had Mike Wiesa on, mayor of Stevens Point, talking about those things in their community that it doesn't matter who you vote for in partisan elections, you can come together on. And I think, again, public education, you can come together on that in communities. And as you've traveled around the state over your first year, have you found that? Have you found people coming to local school board meetings expressing to you, well, maybe I voted for Trump, or maybe I voted for Walker or whoever, but boy, I don't want my public school to go down the drain.
Yeah, and it's not just community members at school boards. It's teachers too, you know, people who work in education as well. And I know plenty of district administrators who, you know, are, you know, aligned ideologically with Republicans as well. But it's really what it comes down to. And I've worked with Republicans and Democrats on my school board. And when I talk to people throughout the state, I think we all want the same things. And there's this common thread, you know, that public schools unite us. We all want great schools, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to have great schools, we need great teachers. And in order to have great teachers, we have to invest in those salaries for teachers and in their continuing education. We all want great facilities. And you see that on the referendums, for example, that were passed, you know, for operational expenses, such as increasing pay and salary, for improving facilities. You know, a lot of our buildings are older. And, you know, and especially in the rural areas and in many of the urban areas as well. And it gets to a point where, is it more cost effective to completely replace the building versus having to, you know, just upgrade it? And, you know, but you look at facilities for career and tech ed, you look at facilities for science labs, and then even the extracurricular pieces like gymnasiums and athletic fields. I mean, all of that on top of the operational expenses that we need to run our schools every day costs money. And communities have made it clear that they need to invest in their schools and they will invest in their schools. And so to go back to your original question, I think people will ideologically see that there's one, you know, party over another that seems to support their public schools and they'll turn out for it.
Here's the connection I'd like to make. And if you could be our teacher for the day and help us make this connection, you hit on it, is good schools also require good educators, good teachers. My godsons both went to Monroe High School and took AP classes, advanced placement classes in science and math. One graduated with a microbiology degree from UW-Madison and works for Eli Lilly. The other one will graduate in a couple of 3 weeks here in December with an aerospace degree from Madison and already has a job in the industry. Our children don't get those opportunities if they don't have advanced placement classes or educators in their district. And right now there are districts who are going through their CESAs offering basically whatever a person wants to come and teach because they can't find teachers. And to your point, it was Republican Governor Tommy Thompson who put 2/3 of the cost of public education in the state to take it off the local tax rolls. Slowly but surely, Republicans have whittled away at that. And yes or no, or agree or disagree, that's why locals are being asked to support these referendums, because Republicans have taken that promise of 2/3 off the table.
Yeah, and that's for sure. And the other side of it as well is that they haven't been getting at least standard of living or inflationary increases in our schools during each of the, you know, budget cycles. Even this last budget, the 21-23 biennium, schools got 0% in new spendable revenue. So, you know, you think about when the needs are so great, right? The resources that are coming from the state are nil in so many areas. And when you think about like all the needs, these were needs before the pandemic. You know, we already had a teacher shortage because of Act 10 and stagnant, you know, salary and benefits. We've had mental health needs in our school. We've had buildings that's, you know, you still need to replace the roof.
Right.
Just regular, you know, just regular maintenance. And there's a huge budget surplus sitting in the state coffers that it was unallocated. And you have to wonder if the legislature had given the schools the resources they need, such as just an inflationary increase. I mean, that money that we didn't get in our schools is sitting in the budget surplus right now. And it's really, you know, it's really a shame because we have areas that need it, but they're not willing to allocate it.
We have a couple of minutes left, Dr. Underley, state school superintendent, our guest right now this half hour. Tell us what your legislative agenda is moving into the new legislature, of course, still controlled by Republicans. Governor Evers still has the power of the veto pen. What do you see as a point of unity, if any, to work on public education with the Republican legislature?
Yeah, I think I'll just go back to that we all want the same things. You know, I really do feel strongly that we all, Republican and Democrat, doesn't matter, we want strong schools. And in order to accomplish that, we need to make sure that we invest the resources in our schools so that they're able to thrive. You know, it's our economic future. The state depends on it. Like when you were sharing the examples of your godsons in Monroe, kids need opportunities in schools and they need the opportunities for, you know, advanced level math and science and English and all these other fine art opportunities that they're not going to get otherwise, because if they can't get teachers or they don't have the facilities to support that. So my agenda looks at early childhood programming, looks at mental health care, looks at closing the gaps in special education funding. as well as making sure that we can come up with a fair funding system for our schools so that we don't have to rely on referendum every election cycle.
Dr. Jill Elderly, Superintendent of Public Schools in Wisconsin, thank you for taking the time. You're doing a wonderful job. Please come back and join us again. Love to talk about mental health with our kids and our teachers, a huge issue. So thank you so much.
100%.
And keep
doing it. Thank you so much, Doc.
All my pleasure. Dr. Jill Elderly from Wisconsin, Superintendent of Public Schools. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show. Back with more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on a Friday morning, November 18th. Little Kenny Chesney to get you up and moving as you make your way through your Friday morning, headed towards noon here, headed towards 11 o'clock later on, and Kristen Bry will be in with you, or at least someone from her staff, with As Goes Wisconsin, the great radio program coming up at 11 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen remains on vacation on her honeymoon. A well-deserved vacation with her with a new spouse, and they are vacationing somewhere warm, is my understanding. So good for her. She'll be back with us, I believe, next week. But we are here with you now, and if you're going to get on the roads later today and head north for deer camp or deer hunting with friends and family, do so carefully. Expect flurries throughout the day in most of our listening area across the state of Wisconsin. If you are north of our station in Wausau, you can expect a little bit more snow. So up towards Merrill and Tomahawk and up that way, maybe up to 2 inches of snow as you head towards Lake Superior. Lake effect snow will be happening up there. If you're headed down south of Wisconsin towards Rockford, some slippery roads as well reported there this morning. But if you're kind of in that western part, Amory, Richland Center, Wisconsin Dells, over towards, here in Madison, partly cloudy skies, partly sunny right now. And low 30s for the highs today. It's going to get windy and cold this weekend. So if you're in the woods, make sure you dress appropriately and bundle up. And otherwise, just enjoy the weekend. Lots going on. I think people are in the holiday mood already, right? Because the snow, we haven't had snow for Christmas in I don't know how long. And I think just the snow on the ground, even though it's just a little bit, it kind of puts people in that holiday mood. And again, I know a lot of people, I was working in retail before I came and did this gig, and I still have friends there, and I know they're saying the business is up. So get out and support your local community store, your small business, and help them out if you're thinking about holiday gifts. Maybe if we have time later in the show, Oprah came out with her best things or what is it? I can't remember what the name of it is. Her holiday shopping list. Her favorite things, that's what it is. Oprah's favorite things came out today. So maybe we'll take a look at what Oprah is recommending for the holidays. One of my friends, Florcy, she was in Chicago several years ago for the Oprah show. And the way they used to do this is they didn't promote it, right, beforehand. Because if you promote it, I mean, it'd be like Taylor Swift tickets. They'd sell out. You couldn't get any. And so they would just surprise the audience, you see. And so Florcy went with some of her friends and relatives. They went down, they were sitting at the Oprah show, and she comes out and reveals it. It's your favorite things. And the place went nuts. And I can tell you from her experience, her telling me, they do get the audience members at the time. They got all the gifts that Oprah was giving away. And some of them were very, very nice. So maybe we'll dive into Oprah's favorite things a little bit later in the program if we have time. One of our favorite things is State Senator Melissa Agard, and she'll be coming up here in the next hour in the 10:30 time slot. Melissa Agard, my state senator here in South Madison, and she was just elected by her colleagues as the Democratic leader for the state Senate, and so she'll be joining us at 10:30 to give her impressions of what's coming up in the next legislative session, and also kind of what can the minority do when you're not in the majority, your hands are tied to a certain degree, but there are still things you could do to advance the cause, advance issues, bring light to things. So State Senator Melissa Agard will join us live right here at 10:30. How about Dr. Jill Underley? Isn't she great? I mean, just a real person, right? Keeping it real and just some great ideas. And again, coming from a place like Pecatonica, a small community in Southwest Wisconsin, she understands the communities in which she lives as a superintendent, a district administrator who she represented there. And she's in touch with real folks across Wisconsin. And again, the theme keeps coming up. How do we work with people who don't always agree with us or we don't agree with them? How can we bring our communities together? And one of those ways is public education. Give us a call. Tell us your take this morning. The toll-free number to give us a call is 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. I'll give you that number again if you want to grab your phone or grab a pencil or paper and give us a call. Tell us what your thoughts are on public education in your community. Was there a referendum? Did it pass or did it fail? What are your thoughts on the teachers in your school district? On the sports teams in your school district? Speaking of Monroe, by the way, the city of Monroe, or the school district of Monroe, the Monroe Cheesemakers are in the state championship football game. And I think they're playing, they kick off at Camp Randall at 10 o'clock here. So maybe in the next hour, during the next hour, we could give you live, well, we can't like broadcast the game, but maybe we could check and find scores, and we'll try to bring you live updates of Monroe Cheesemaker football right here on the Todd Allball Show. We will attempt to do that through the magic of Twitter, if it's still up, or sports scores or something. I'm really bummed about Twitter. Not that I'm an Elon Musk fan at all, but I use it to get my news, to follow legitimate news sources like WisPolitics or the Wisconsin or Wisconsin State Journal or Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I follow all these Twitter reporters or reporters' Twitter handles to get news. And if that goes down, what am I going to do, Aaron? I have an Instagram account. I really don't use it. Am I going to have to go to Instagram? Do I go to, what is that? The new one everybody's going to.
TikTok?
Todd on TikTok. That'd be great.
TikTok.
TikTok.
Maybe we'll have to now.
That's spectacular, actually. TikTok. I actually like that, Aaron, a lot. Okay. We'll see if we can create a TikTok. But what are we going to put on? Just me dancing? Here's a hitherto unknown fact I'll share with you, just between you and I. In high school, I was in band, and I ended up being the drum major my senior year. I was a percussionist, and I played cymbals a lot. So our band teacher, Lauren Jensen, was the first woman drummer for Mike the Crone at the Wisconsin Marching Band here in Madison. She was a great woman, she was out there, she was opinionated, she was fantastic. And so we used to play the stripper, the song, classic song that was used in burlesque at one time for striptease artists. And it was a great song. So our pep band played that. And she taught me how to twirl cymbals, like the UW marching band, they twirl the cymbals. So I would come out in the middle of the basketball court during pep band and do this stripper number. I wouldn't take off my clothes, but I'd do this stripper number and I'd gyrate and it was ridiculous. Maybe we could put the stripper on TikTok.
There we go.
I'm afraid ratings would go right down the tubes.
Or right up.
Or right up. We got some miles to go on the Todd Allball Show. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The news is next.